here underneath the Hogan stand. 65 metres out, drops it in around the square. Up goes, will it fall nicely here? Oh, for Johnny Shea, gone a bit too far. Shea's going to make an angle. Shea's coming around. Shea gets the goal. It's a goal for the Kingdom. 3 minutes and 24 seconds. Johnny O'Shea, a goal and a point. He's on fire. Kerry on fire. A goal and a point. Up to points. Johnny O'Shea, steadying himself on the run-up, strikes the ball, hits it with all his heart. Where is it? It's over! It's over! It's over! It's over! The game is over! Kerry are in an All-Ireland final. It's all over! It's over! Let's go! Kerry are in it! Oh, you're fire! Amherst, we did it! Up in there! We're in an All-Ireland final, Amherst!
The answer is... Johnny O'Shea! You're with Stephen Thompson.
Oh.
And the answer is yes!
Yes, we can! Yes, we can! Obama said, can we do it? We can! Yes, we can! Kerry are in an All-Ireland final!
And there you have it, Kerry are in an All-Ireland final. As if you wouldn't know it all, the reaction and all the joy across the county. It's Monday evening, of course. It's Terrace Talk here on Radio Kerry Donalbury, which until 8 o'clock this evening. And it's the night after the day before. And a big thank you there to Ivan. He took over last week, filling in the chair. I have a little bit more sunshine on me now, having good temperatures over in the Costa del Sol there for a couple of days. But nothing prepared me for the temperature in Croke Park yesterday. It was absolutely fabulous. Get your comments into us this evening and we'll certainly them out as quick as we can. Now, great win, of course, over the weekend as well for the Kerry senior ladies, and we'll contact them maybe later on the show. It was nail-biting stuff, of course, all the way to the end. Shawnee fired over that point. It seems from 100 metres out. Well, it certainly was 100 metres out if you were in the back stand of the Devon stand, lads, trying to peer through the crowd and see what was happening. But, I mean, the joy, the celebrations, and the white flag, most importantly, the kids, the bigger kids and the adults and everybody jumping around, the new jerseys and the old jerseys and the jerseys from 97 and fellas with no jerseys on them at all, actually, as well, some of them. But two fellas that have jerseys on tonight, delighted to tell you, is Liam Brosnan. He gave up a concert there in Henry Street there yesterday to go and watch the match for us. Fair play to you. And John Kennedy, of course, proper professional. He was up in Croke Park earlier checking out the field and everything. Delighted to have the two boys on. John Kennedy, I'll start with you. Last time you said if Kerry were going to win a game, they needed their character to be tested. They certainly had that yesterday.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Donald, because look, this Dublin team, we said here a few weeks ago that the team that beat Dublin and win the All-Ireland, I felt there was a kick in them. And, you know, they certainly went down fighting yesterday. What an occasion, first of all, I suppose. We've been in Croke Park many, many times, but I think the atmosphere, the colour and the noise for the parade was something special, really. You'll only get it in Kerry and Dublin. It's really special.
There was a great hunger there. I mean, people went up. I mean, we haven't beaten Dublin since 2009. And I suppose when you don't beat a team, you kind of go up with your head under your shoulders. But Kerry people went up proud yesterday. They went up expecting to win and they backed their team and their team delivered.
They did, yeah. I met you on the street there yesterday on stage before the game. But the general consensus was we were ready to have a cut. We had a team ready to go and we needed to beat Dublin. And, you know, we were the better team. But look, it came down, Donald, I suppose, to a piece of magic from Shawnee Shea. What a strike to win the game. And, you know, while it was a bitter pill for Dublin, you know, ourselves and Mayo have been at the end of, we'll say, Stephen Cluxton and Dean Rock doing the same thing from not as far out. But what a way to win it. And a huge boost going into an All-Ireland final. I suppose maybe a downside is an injury to Gavin White. It didn't look great. But look, a lot of game time into some of the subs. They all played their part when they came on. And a great victory. But the real character, as you said, came through. You know, it went to the wire. And we had leaders all over the field. They stood up. Mm-hmm. And a fantastic victory.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about the importance of key players and players standing up, Liam, ahead of this game, of course, and you said, actually, believe it or not, our big players need to play big. Our big players certainly played big when they were needed yesterday.
And they did, Donal, and I suppose that's probably the satisfactory thing about the whole thing was after the Mayo game, we had a lot of question marks and, you know, and I
said, like we lost it, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, and, you know, and I suppose, and no more like yesterday, like Jack probably went back during the week after the Mayo game, and these guys, look, these guys know themselves. You know yourself when you come off the field and you didn't perform. And they went out with a bit of a chip in their shoulder yesterday. David Clifford, Sean Shea, you know, they were the two main guys. And you could see they wanted it. And I suppose the old rivalry as well between Kerry and Dublin. Look, everyone wants to, if you're a footballer, that's where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And on a sunny day above in Crow Park with a near capacity crowd, sure, what more could you ask for?
It's the stuff of dreams, obviously. Yeah. I mean, there's loads of little boys and girls out in their back garden tonight kicking the ball from 55 metres down across the lawn. I mean, and that's the specialness about it, isn't it?
It was. And if we saw yesterday, you know, the excitement of the whole thing. And I had my own girl, Megan, her first time up in Crow Park yesterday as well, and you know, her mother said she never stopped, you know, and I was talking to a lot of families after, and the same thing, the joy, like we've come down them steps down with less since 2009 with a lot of sad faces, and I do think we deserved that yesterday. You know, we didn't, I suppose, look, we're dissecting it all day with different people, we probably, you know, there's probably a lot more in us, but if we go back to the last couple of years, you know, there's not ever only a kick of a ball between Dublin and Kerry, and at last we've been at the right side of this one. And you've got to give great credit to the Kerry management, the Kerry players, the whole lot. I think Jack has ticked all the boxes so far, Don. You know, from the McGrath Cup, you know, he's laid down a marker that he wants to win all games. You know, we spoke about it here for years about releasing players back into the club to play football. He's done that. I was at a couple of county league matches. He was two of them actually Saturday night. And you know, you had Craig Horn with Crokes, who Dana Dunhu with Spa. These guys are eager to go back in again Tuesday night. David Moran, when he was injured, played with Kieran O'Reilly. So it was something different, and you could see that the whole kind of the camaraderie, the spirit and the structure that we have. And I think that's a big thing. We're on about Jim Gavin, his processes and all this kind of crack, but I think the Jack and his management team have a structure with this Kerry team. Now, you have a lot of guys there that have roles to do. They mightn't become man of matches, they mightn't become all-stars, but they're doing a role for Kerry, and it's showing, because we're just a couple of stats. We scored 68% on shooting again this week. We kept Dublin to 58%. No, so you keep Dublin to 58% shooting. That's credit down to the.
Like you were studying for the leaving cert again last night. Were you on the way home?
Yeah.
Poor old John Kennedy. What will you be doing, John? Let's go back and talk about the atmosphere first before we move on, because we will break down the game and how it was won and analyse it. One of the things that struck me yesterday about the Kerry support. An awful lot of children, and Liam touched on it, his daughter, my son was at it, he's 10, it's not his first final, but it's the first time experience a win as a 10-year-old, and even a lot of people dotted around the Devon stand there, they were 17, 18, 19 years old. It's a new generation of supporters kind of washing itself through. And then at the other end of the thing, the Kerry Supporters Club that went up yesterday, and they do fabulous work, and they're up, you have people in their 80s at those games as well. I mean, the tradition is still there, the tradition is fierce and important, isn't it?
Well, there's no doubt about it, and the passion. My daughter, I was talking to Catherine last night on the way back, they wanted to be in to see the Kerry team coming out. It was special. But meeting the older generation, the passion they have, you know, the commitment, and, you know, almost emotional, really, to see Kerry winning in Croke Park again against the Dubs. And, like, that's what football is about, like, that rivalry, that friendly rivalry. And I think we saw it last night when we came home. The teams were going down the tunnel. Jack O'Connor gave a tip on the shoulder to Kieran Whelan.
Mm-hmm.
Or, sorry, to Kieran Kilkenny.
Yeah.
And
it was a special moment.
Yeah. It summed up what the GA is about.
Especially with all the nonsense and the hurling side where two fellas won't shake hands to each other. Kieran Kilkenny could have beat Kerry yesterday and Jack O'Connor could have lost his job over it.
There's no doubt. And he has hurt us for years in a footballing sense.
It's respect.
But it's respect. Yeah. And it was there. It was played in the best sporting manner you could get. Hard hitting, you know, some on the edge stuff. But look, we have to say that passion, this there, that rivalry, it's so difficult to beat it. And Kerry and Dublin bring something special. But this was a special victory. We spoke about it off the air, Liam and myself. Had we lost yesterday, regardless what the manner was, it would have been a huge dent for Kerry teams going forward and for the management team. They've done everything right.
Mm-hmm.
It's another box ticked, and you have to give huge credit to Jack and Michal Quirk and Dermot Murphy, Paddy Talley and whoever else is involved. They have done everything perfect to perfection. And yesterday, it came down to the last kick, but you could see the joy, what it meant to everybody. It was just you know, they just broke out jumping around the place like young fellas after winning. Right. That's what it means to Kerry. And 'twas reciprocated up on the stand. There was tears of joy from young and old. We're back in an All-Ireland final, and fair play to them. Great stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it's the two-horse race now, Liam, of course, and we have races for you in Killarney to seeding four. We're covering, we'll be going across there to the 6:15 one fairly shortly. Liam, a lot of the plaudits, of course, going to the forwards, and I suppose when you leave and you walk down the tunnel of the Devon, you come down Henry Street and all the way back to your car, people are talking about, and you're overhearing conversations, and you're in your head, you're agreeing with some people, and in Moorhead you're saying, "Mother of God, was it the game at all?" That kind of way, or what match was he watching?
Beautiful thing, Kerry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, two people 6 foot apart and two different opinions on the same player. I suppose that's what sets us aside here in Kerry. But the case with the defence, I felt yesterday, was overshadowed by a performance from the forwards, but we would have lost that game if our defenders weren't up to it. I mean, time and time again, the amount of chances that Dublin coughed up because our men stood up tall, won ball, didn't foul, didn't give away frees. I mean, that was amazing.
Yeah, they had 20 shots and scored 11. But it seems to be a hallmark of our Kerry team this year, even through the league games we were at as well, Donal. Now, it's the structure, like I said, we get back to the structure. We have a defensive, it's very like basketball. I was watching them yesterday, that when the ball's coming down the left-hand side, you'll see Stephen O'Brien, you'll see Gavin O'White in the far side. They're all stepping into the middle. The midfielders are stepping back. And it's a case of, before, if I was a Kerry defender and I was beaten, the man was gone straight in goals. Now you have two and you have three Kerry guys around the man. You know, so there's this fantastic help there.
The one time yesterday that we were cut out in centre of the field, ball broke down, we hadn't our structure in place and we gave away a goal.
See, that's the thing with we're always saying with structure, if we can move the ball quickly and beat the defence, that's where it is. And we did that in the first half yesterday. But you've got to give credit, it was a shot from 21 yards out, you know, it was well taken. Our goalkeeper nearly got it. I know nearly, but he was very close to it. But the ground shook. I said to myself, "Here we go again. Are we going back to the McManaman moment again? That the hill was rocking. You could feel the pitch vibrate. But no, Kerry, look, they settled. No, I think the Paddy Clifford point was crucial. You know, we held the ball for over three and a half minutes. Absolutely. And next thing, he punched out the back.
We'll talk about Paddy Clifford and all the Cliffords, of course, shortly, but we'll head across now to Killarney and we'll catch up with Pat Griffin for the 6:15 race.
From the sidelines to the stand, Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
There you go, and you're welcome back to Terrace Talk on an evening where we have got ourselves into an All-Ireland final. Galway, of course, the Cove, and of course, rightly pointed out by many of our listeners, the job isn't done yet, but it's still very nice to look back on the job that was done yesterday. Hi lads, great show as usual. Dublin parked the bus for most of the league with yesterday's game in mind, no question about it. Fair play to the Kingdom for not folding, showed great mental strength at the end. Must go to Sean O'Shea's free kick, just came flying through the window, and that's from Brendan over in Boston. A lot of people, of course, watching all over the world, and of course, Brendan got the delight. John Kennedy, he mentions a word there that's creeping into the game, mental strength, of course, and Jack O'Connor, of course, has the services of Tony Griffin with him, of course, the former great Clare hurler. Can you see that being built up inside in players when, you know, we've gone now from fitness to what you eat to all sorts of training, but now we're moving more into the sports psychology and getting fellas right? And yesterday, Kerry were mentally right, weren't they? I mean, like, they gave up a 5-point lead. In other years, you would have said, "Oh God, the house of cards is coming down on top of us and we're going to lose this by 4 points and we'll all go home fairly sad." Well, it didn't happen yesterday. So Tony Griffin has played a part.
There's no doubt. I think, like Liam said, it's about a lot of guys having jobs to do on and off the field. And I think certainly Tony Griffin, if you weren't Jack's, when he came in, probably he looked at what they had to do to get over the line. We haven't been getting over the line for one reason or another. We've been so close. The personnel has stayed the same. On the field, he has identified guys and put him in positions. We'll mention Jason Foley and Tadhg Morley. Mm-hmm. They have become, from maybe not so sure, to being, you know, completely on top of their game and a vital cogs in the team. He brought in Graham O'Sullivan. He's done a marvellous job. Mm-hmm. And he's identified the areas that we wanted to back up on. You know, Paddy Talley was brought in and his role was the defensive side of the team we needed to improve. We've said here several times, the centre of our defence was open. Mm-hmm. For the counter-attack, we were sucker punches like Conor Costello's goal, but it happened more than once. Mm-hmm. And then the psychology. You're losing tight games. It has a draining effect on the team. obviously he identified Tony Griffin, you know, well renowned in his field, a former great hurler, had the advantage of being in the dressing room on big days,
yes,
as well as his profession, and that's very, very important.
Yeah.
And I think all the boxes were ticked. And we are where we are, and this is down to Jack O'Connor,
yeah,
and his management.
Even to see him in the warm-up, I mean, Griffin is walking around the place, he wears this very distinctive, tall, yellow jacket, he looks kind of, he looks like a guy that could even go out and play, he's still super fit, he's around inside the huddles with people. Even Jack O'Connor yesterday, he was behind the goal gathering the ball, kind of things that you'd say, Jesus, a manager shouldn't be doing that, I mean, that's kind of beneath you, but it's all part of it, they're all together, and you could see that yesterday, Liam, it was a together performance, because even when the full-time whistle went, I mean, there was great joy, even on the subs bench, yeah, and things, you know, and when you're on the subs bench, I mean, you want to be playing, I mean, but I mean, they're great delight, there's great team etiquette here.
There is, and not only the sub bench, and I spotted the guys that played the county league the night before, they were all behind the sub bench and they all went out and they were just as happy as the guys on the field, and like I said, that started probably that cold night above in Ossenstack Park when Kerry played Limerick in the McGrath Cup. You could see there was blocks being built, and all through the National League, up to Monaghan, up to Armagh, and these places, you know, it was gradually growing. You could see they were aiming for something. There was something brewing, something growing, and I do think it came to the fore yesterday. Look, we're not going to get carried away with it. We've an All-Ireland final to play, but at the same time,
second one, sure, you were at an under 14 ladies one there earlier.
That's right, and
that went very well.
And if it's as good as that, we'll be here for a long time.
You'll be flying. Hi, Joel. Kerry show great character to dig in and win that game with a mighty kick by Sean O'Shea, but everyone has to get back down to earth and not underestimate Galway, who are in the final on merit as well. Well done, and best of luck to the Kerry ladies too. And that's Charles in. You never walk alone, and of course, Charles. And listen, Charles, yeah, certainly you're hitting the nail on the head. It is a very good Galway side, and we'll discuss them as well later on the show. Fair play to Kerry and Dublin, played well too. I thought Derry were very poor on Saturday. I thought they might be dark horses, and that's John down there in West Cork. Of course, West Cork is a fine big place, John. We'll have to go figure out where you're hiding down there. Hi, Dublin, great show, super performance by Kerry yesterday. One thing that's really annoyed me this week was our county board sheltering a full round of county league games on the eve of Kerry's most important game. Shows a lack of respect for our clubs and club players. Yeah, I suppose with the split season, I suppose, you know, the club players and county players have been kept separate. I mean, the county league is it's an 11-week schedule. A lot of games, of course, at the weekend, they all went ahead. Some teams were promoted and some teams were relegated. They all think. But I suppose the point possibly maybe some people that would have wanted to get away maybe on a Saturday evening up to Dublin maybe early, that might have been stopped or held on. We'll get more comment before we go. Jack's the man. This is a good comment. Jack's the man. One thing I'd be worried about is our kickouts. We were poor with kickouts and a lot of breaking ball that was lost as a result. Just in a score for Dublin. I would also consider the lack of ability to close out a game yesterday being the exception. A better Dublin team would have beaten us. Up the kingdom, onwards and upwards. And that's Timmy from Drummond. Fair play to you, Timmy. You have the radio on down there in the Gaeltacht, and that's great as well. And great defensive display yesterday. But as good as the euphoria was, we still have to finish the job. The experience and pain of 2019 will still stand to us. I do want to note, I want to say one thing, the Dublin supporters around us were so gracious. They had admiration for the Cliffords and complimentary at all his individual great scores. Congratulated and shook hands at the final whistle. They often get a bad rap, but they just want to be acknowledged and how good they were on this occasion. And you know what, in fairness, it is one of the good things about the GA. You do go away, you have the banter, you have your I suppose you have your angry moments, and it is amazing how one supporter is pro the referee at one point and one is anti the referee at the other point. And speaking about refereeing decisions, Liam, that controversial penalty and Evan Comerford coming in for a small bit of heat, he certainly recovered fairly quickly, delighted.
He did, Dorn. Look, I suppose before the penalty, I could have went down and kicked him myself, because we were all getting kind of annoyed with him for the way he was lying down, and you could see on camera that there wasn't much wrong with him. But to be fair to Shawnee, the ball rebounded off him, and if it was you, me or John, we would have done the exact same thing. I think he was quite entitled to go. His momentum after he kicked the ball probably took him on top of him all right, but look, that's the way it was, and like he probably deserved an old small kick in it into you to carry on.
Don't be saying things like that, Liam. God, Jason Sherlock is on his way very shortly to us, and we'll ask him, of course, from the Dublin reaction. Jason, of course, a great player, and of course a guy that shot on to the arena as well in 95, which was fabulous. John Kennedy won't know the answer to this question, I'm sure. Lads, when are tickets going on sale? John, you can just smile. It'll be hard to get, will they?
It'll be clubs, will it?
I'm not sure. It'll be more than likely clubs, I suppose. But yeah. Look, it's great, Donald. The demand is there. People are at it already. They're booking trains and buses, I'm sure. Isn't that what it's about?
Yes.
A weekend in Dublin and an All-Ireland final. It's great to be back there.
Yeah. Gavin White's injury. Jack Barry looked dead on his feet and Dermot Connor worrying loss of form. There's plenty for Jack to ponder ahead of the All-Ireland. Liam, discuss.
Yeah, well, I suppose Gavin White's injury is a worry, all right, but I wouldn't say Dermot Connor and these fellas. I think they did a role yesterday. Mm-hmm.
They're still finding their feet, maybe in that competitive world. I mean, it's a big place, midfield in Croke Park.
Oh, it is, yeah. And like you look at it and you analyse it. What did Brian Finton and their midfielders Laffey do yesterday? So like the boys did a role, they did a job. It doesn't mean they come away man of the matches or all stars stuff like that. And I think that's the way Jack has engraved a lot of stuff into these guys, that you have your role to do, you do your job, and the team will get over the line.
Yeah, of course, it takes 15 men to take the game home anyway, and you have to have them all. Lads, I have to laugh when you say there's respect at GAA games for free takers. There has almost 50,000 people booing Sean O'Shea yesterday when he took the last minute free kick. It's something that's crept into the game, really. I mean, he's kicking into Hill 16. I presume if it was the other way around, we probably couldn't absolve ourselves from those sins.
No, I don't. I think, look, it's the part of the game, and I suppose with the goalkeeper swinging off the post as well, I think there was a bit of everything thrown into it. But look, once it went over, I wouldn't care what they threw at us.
Absolutely. Well, look, it went over the bar and Kerry are in an All-Ireland final. First one since 2019. It's amazing how fast we forget the 2019 one. We had our hands in Dublin there as well, quite close. But anyway, other things are happening across the county this evening. Of course, Killarney races are going ahead. And we will now shoot across to Killarney for a show of betting for the 6:30 race. Now, where are we going? We have plenty of comments. My God, they're all coming to us fairly hot and heavy. Fantastic match and atmosphere yesterday. Did the panel notice our guys going down with cramp near the end? And should we be concerned about this for 2 weeks' time? Ferocious pace and heat yesterday, of course, but Saturday was very hot and Galway did not seem to settle with fatigue as easily as we did. When under pressure, we seemed to revert closer to last year's style of play compared to the league defensive structure. Quickly on that one, John, because we'll be joined now by Jason Sherlock. It's a good point, isn't it? When we kind of struggled yesterday, we did kind of retreat and we did kind of maybe fall apart for a couple of minutes. There is a fallibility still among us.
Well, there's not, like, it's not the finished article yet, Donald. There's no doubt there's room for improvement. You know, there are areas that Jack won't be happy on, but it's a great way to go into final. And, you know, about the cramping and stuff, the intensity off the ball and on the ball yesterday was quite incredible. You know, we spoke about the midfield earlier on. Look at the tracking these guys had to nullify them and keep them out of the game. Kieran Kilkenny, for instance, in the first half wasn't in the game. Brian Howard was getting on ball, making no headway. But the amount of work and chasing back that our backs and half forwards did, that's energy sapping. The heat was out there. Croke Park, it's a cauldron.
Big field.
It's a big field. It's so difficult. And how many turnovers had we after running 40 or 50 metres to get back to cover?
Yeah, no man who's certainly sapped the energy out of an awful lot of players around Croke Park was Jason Sherlock. Delighted to have him on the line. Jason, I suppose there was an initial disappointment amongst Dublin fans yesterday leaving Croke Park. Obviously, when you lose, everybody's disappointed. But I think to be a fair assessment to say maybe after a good night's sleep that most people will feel that Dublin really threw everything they had at Kerry and as good champions, they went out the best they could.
Yeah, Donald, I think obviously it was a great game yesterday and I think full credit to Kerry in getting the victory. I think from a Dublin perspective, yes, we were disappointed and we should be disappointed because, like, if someone told me when I played against Kerry last in 2009 that Kerry wouldn't beat us again for 13 years, it'd be hard to believe. So you just don't know when the next time will be where Dublin have that dominance. So from that perspective, Dublin need to be disappointed and need to be asking questions about how they can come back better. But I think today, obviously, is about Kerry and full credit to them. I think they've had a lot of tough days against Dublin over the last few years. And like sport, unfortunately, we don't get to know the modern players as well. It's not as social as it was a number of years ago. But I would have a lot of time for the likes of Paul Geaney and David Moran, two of the older guys on that team, and no doubt they were big motivators for the team over the last number of years. So I have to say personally, I was delighted to see those guys get their get their day, and obviously hopefully now they can go on and win the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely, Jason. I mean, they are two players who have soldiered an awful lot. It's a very good point that you make, as well. A lot of Kerry people don't even think about it. We haven't beaten Dublin since 2009. We talk about all these epic clashes. I mean, they're not so epic when you keep losing them. Did you see yesterday, though, that Kerry, for possibly the first time in a long time, they were physically up to the challenge? I mean, they bossed Dublin around, particularly our defensive unit was probably more structured. Is that something that happens over time, and that Kerry just seem to be where we want to be now, where Dublin are kind of maybe just going down the other side of the slope, maybe?
Yeah, well, the thing about sport is it's how you respond to situations. And as we said, Kerry, they probably, since 2019, they've underperformed in terms of results. And obviously, even before then, there was a lot of close games with Dublin where I'm sure Kerry felt they should have got the victory. But certainly, it felt like Kerry were coming and have been coming. And obviously, there's some significant players that are going to be around for a long time. But it's the sum of the parts. And obviously, there was a motivation perspective there. Obviously, psychologically, I think Jack O'Connor referred to it after the game, that mentally there was a lot of kind of experiences that the Kerry players were able to deal with. You mentioned the physicality. Like, if you take Sean O'Shea, for an example, I think he became a man yesterday. He's had some tough experiences against John Small over the last number of years, but he had his day yesterday, and that's full credit to him. So I think that's the worrying thing from a Dublin perspective, that it looks like this Kerry team now are on a big trajectory. And I know it was tight yesterday, but the reality is, I think psychologically, Kerry are going to be in a very good place when they do face Dublin again in the future.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing, I suppose, a mark of champions, I suppose. There were a lot of Dublin players yesterday with, I suppose, pocketfuls of medals, and that tends to be a Kerry thing, or up to recently it was a thing that everybody around Kerry had pockets of medals in them. But there was a real champion spirit in them. They were 5 points down. It was a game that never really looked like owning or winning at that stage. But they rolled their sleeves up, they got back into it. The loss of Conor Callaghan was massive to that team, though, wasn't he?
In hindsight, he was, but like again, that's not an excuse. You know, Dublin teams and Kerry teams, we had big players missing in games in the past, and that's always going to be the case. And again, that's not a good enough excuse. Mm-hmm. As much as you can say that Conn was a big impact, and I'd agree with that, I think the reality is for those teams to play in 12 months' time, I can see Kerry being back and being better. I would worry about Dublin being back and being as good, because as you mentioned there were some great performance from our elder statesmen, mm-hmm. the likes of James McCarthy, Mick Fitz. Like, yeah. These guys, as you say, the pocket full of medals. And from a motivation perspective, it's going to be a very challenging for those guys to continue on and give what they have. And they've been great servants for Dublin, and they're entitled to do what they want. But I suppose from a Dublin perspective, that would be the worry, that you can't necessarily see where these guys are going to continue, yeah. And why these guys might continue to come, yeah. Keep going.
It's, and of course, look, there's so much asked of our county players now. It's not like what it was maybe 20 years ago or 30 years ago, where, you know, I mean, the amount of time you put in, your social life is nearly put on hold as well, and it's season to season. One man Jack O'Connor singled out yesterday was Kieran Kilkenny. He kind of made a point to head over to him leaving the field. Kieran is one of those great Dublin players, isn't he?
He is. And I think, like, if you look at the game in terms of the broad facts of the game, obviously Kieran came to life in the last quarter when it counts. I suppose you could question when Conn was absent, could they have done something different with Kieran, maybe to challenge Kerry in the full forward line? They didn't do it, and I think unfortunately there were a couple of bad turnovers at crucial times for the Dublin from the Dublin players near the end. But yeah, like I suppose in a lot of ways, the guys that I would have coached over the last number of years, I think to a man, they all performed, which was great to see, and I was obviously delighted to see that they all performed to the levels that mm-hmm. we were used to. I suppose the challenge is whether those guys will be there next year or the year after, because as I said, I have a feeling that Kerry are going to be around for a good while now.
Jesus, Jason, you must be looking for all Ireland tickets off us down here with all the nice stuff you're saying about us. There's a big queue there. Jason, finally, I remember you lighting up a 95 game. You lit up a lot of 95 games, but the one in particular that stood out for me was the game against Laois, where you scored the ball in the back of the net with one boot missing, or had your wooden white sock on, maybe. Do you remember who passed that ball to you?
I remember. I think he ended up being a manager for Dublin for a while.
Absolutely. a kind of a miskicked left leg around the top, and he went on to win six in a row. Jim Gavin, of course, who we're referring to. Jim's legacy is massive, isn't it, in the GAA?
It is. But, like, again, I suppose we knew we were in a special place at the time, and we knew it wasn't going to last forever. With so many weapons at the time, that we knew we had players that could play either way and could finish off the game. But in saying that, we had some great matches with Kerry, we had some great matches with Mayo over the years in particular, and some of those games could have gone either way. So we were lucky to have that kind of dominance. And again, now Kerry have kind of got the monkey off their back by beating Dublin. It's their opportunity now, and that starts at Sunday week. I would say, before we finish up, I think psychologically, I think Galway have a head start. Like, with the two-week turnaround, psychologically, they had obviously an easier game. And from a recovery perspective, they were able to sit back yesterday and look at what's going to happen. What happened, I think, emotionally and psychologically, I'm sure a lot of Kerry fans will think that the hard work is done. But the reality is you have to go out and win your final. So in that way, it's set up very nicely for a great final in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Jason, we're delighted you took time out from your busy evening there to join us this evening. You still have some great fans down here in Kerry. Some of them remembering your basketball days as well, and of course your soccer days with Shamrock Rovers. Jason, listen, thanks very much for joining us this evening, and hopefully we'll be renewing acquaintances again shortly with Kerry versus Dublin. That, of course, was Jason Sherlock, a fantastic player, of course. I was going to say in his day, but I mean, it's hard to believe that 95 is so long ago. Now, hi, Donald. Shimmy from Limerick. Great day out yesterday. Great to see 2,000 or 3,000 Kerry fans on the hill. Thought Gavin White was immense yesterday. His balance and skill is a sight to behold. He's immense. Disappointed, however, not to see his great Crokes colleague, Michal Burns, not get game time. Looking forward to the final, and hopefully we will get a fair ref appointed. Well, there you go. We'll talk about refs, and we'll talk about all that after this break. There you go. They're certainly racing very fast over in Killarney, and why wouldn't they? A great track and a great night for it as well. It was incredibly sweet to win a close and epic game after so many times being on the other side. Jack has added some discipline to the flair in a titanic battle that proved decisive. Trevor O'Sullivan there in the University Hospital. Trevor, you're very grateful to be listening to us here this evening. The boys are certainly delighted for you to be on the line as well. Another guy, Jerry O'Donoghue, are you out there? I'll give you a few seconds for a big roar. Hopefully that roar is out, because Jerry O'Donoghue is listening to us in O'Donoghue's pub in Shepherd's Bush in London. And sure, why wouldn't it? It's a great place as well to be. Plenty Kerry supporters over there. Just wanted to say that it was great to see Kerry up there again and getting over Dublin on a big breakthrough. Very well done, and the best wishes to the Kerry team. And Jerry, you know, in fairness, it's great to have supporters all over the place carrying those Kerry jerseys. And Jerry is now going to stand around the drinks for everybody in O'Donoghue's pub there in Shepherd's Bush. I heard he has a big wallet. He might be from Cork. You never know. Jerry, fair play to you. Now, please God, Sam will be coming home. Can't wait to see Joe O'Connor bring Sam down Dini Street in 2 weeks' time. Can we just take a moment to congratulate Tim and Ambrose for their unreal commentary, wishing both Kerry senior teams the best at the weekend, of course. I think that's from Alan, of course. Yeah, Tim and Ambrose. Now, they nearly went over the Hogan stand yesterday. Did you pull them back, Liam?
They did, and to be fair to him, myself and Billy were on top of him, so I'm glad there was no camera there, because I don't know how Timmy started talking, because we were jumping on top of him like babies. But yeah, look, the two boys are legendary at what they do, and yeah, it was the atmosphere, it was just everything. I suppose emotions ran with everyone around the stadium yesterday, and I think it was
absolutely
something going on in history for us anyway.
They're getting massive plaudits, and certainly well done. Tim does all the work, and Ambrose just cuts in there with his Logan Aguilar Brogue, and you know, he sees things as it is from a sitting down position. That's Ambrose Outsider and Tim. And certainly, guys, if you want to listen to Radio Kerry Sport and the All Ireland final, definitely tune in here, because that's where you're going to get the best of it. Certainly the most passionate bit. In yards, lads, Sean O'Shea's kick, what was it? Moss wondering to find out. I don't know which one of you have a better degree, but Liam, you're doing the Leaving Cert honours there a while ago with your stats. We will throw that one to you.
I think it's 53 yards exactly. We've been reliably told.
Both You phoned a friend, did you?
I went down with a measuring tape after the game yesterday.
Absolutely.
And to be honest, that kick had another 53 yards on it.
Yeah. I suppose, in all fairness, to the way he kicked it, he didn't kick it straight either. It didn't go at the crow's flies. He went around. So he added a little bit onto it. I was lucky to put that up on Twitter last night on our Terrace Talk handle there. And it was amazing. 13 or 14,000 people saw it straight away. And it's an amazing kick, the emotion afterwards. And one Brian Sheehan liked it on Twitter.
We're blessed with Marv Fitz, Brian Sheehan, and now Shawnee Shea, that will go down there in history forevermore.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a skill that's going out for a game, but it's certainly, it was amazing. And wasn't it amazing that it was opted to be taken off the ground? No fella decided to put in his hand and have a go at it. So it really shows, it's a massive skill. Sadly, leaving our game, I suppose, but, it's still a huge one. Just a thought, for such fine margins, can Kerry make a big difference? If Kerry had lost by 1 point yesterday, or let the Dubs into extra time, would the analysis be a lot different? I suggest it would be certainly an awful lot different. Would people be saying Kerry don't have the bottle, or should the same rhetoric, etc., long way to go for Sam? Hopefully Kerry can deliver in 2 weeks' time. Yeah, and I think that is generally the thought, that people are hoping, I suppose, Kerry can deliver, because we're going to talk about Galway after 7 o'clock, because they certainly are going to pose a big threat. John, looking at Galway, it wasn't the most exciting game for long stretches of it, but Galway done what they needed to do, and they done it in style.
Yeah, they had a job to do, Donal, look, and they got through. And listening to people yesterday before the game, whoever wins today will win the All-Ireland. It's going to be totally different. The semi-finals are there, it's an old cliche, to get over the line and get to the final. Padraig Joyce is a very astute man, and similar to Jack O'Connor, he surrounded himself with very good people, particularly Keane O'Neill. His track record is there, not to be questioned, but to be applauded. He has done it. And, he has some exciting forwards. Midfielder decent. And, the defensive setup is quite similar to our own. So it could be an intriguing battle. Obviously, we'll be favourites. But look, Galway are there in merit. What a boost for Galway football. And as somebody said to me last night, wouldn't it be ironic, after all the trips Mayo have had to Croke Park, Galway come up and win in All-Ireland. We hope it won't happen. But look, it'll be a great occasion again to see the tribesmen back in Croke Park, and tradition. And they're after winning the Minors.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. And do you know about the Minor game, actually? I mean, they beat Mayo. Mayo beat Kerry, of course, obviously. It was their third time facing off this year. I mean, is there something wrong with a system where, you have to play three times and the one time you lose the All-Ireland?
It was the final, yeah. And I think the whole thing at Minor level, taking it away from the big day and all this kind of stuff. I think he's taking the good out of it. I know there was a big crowd at the final because of Mayo and Galway, but I think it's something they have to, the Croke Park and the Powers, we have to look at the age group bring in the minors back to proper minor and play it in front of big games and let fellas, because that's when you were a young fella, that's what putting on the jersey was one thing, but to play in Croke Park before a big game was the thing.
Liam, it may be the only opportunity some of these guys will ever get to play in Croke Park. And what an honour to run out in Croke Park on All-Ireland final day.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons, I believe, that the Croke Park officials or the management team up there is that they wanted to keep the younger fellas away from the hype and the euphoria. But I think it's the opposite they should be doing, because it's the place everyone wants to play, Croke Park, All-Ireland final day, win or lose.
Yeah, and I think we're going to lose a lot of players because of it as well, because there's such a gap there.
Yeah.
And there's nothing for them when they come out of minor unless they step up to under 20. The whole thing has to kind of be looked at.
Now, one guy, of course, that experienced Croke Park not for the first time, listen to this for a quote. I remember watching Breaking Ball years ago in the 90s, and there was a man on talking about Kerry Hurling, and he said that he thought it was a pipe dream that Kerry Hurling might be somewhat competitive. Every week during the year, Kerry were putting in good performances, and they are now competitive. They're stepping up, they're trying their best, even to get into the Munster Championship, and they're being really competitive. Kilkenny is a long way back from there, but it just shows you what you can do if you get to the start of the road. Those are the words by Paul Murphy, Kilkenny footballer, and of course four-time All-Ireland winner and four-time All-Star. And wasn't it fantastic, I suppose, yesterday to see the Kilkenny footballers win the All-Ireland Junior Football Final in Croke Park? And of course, a former Ard Firth footballer and Kilmiley hurler, Christy Walsh. I had to divide North Kerry evenly there because they all claim credit to him, but Kilmiley say there he is. I remember, of course, Kerry playing Kilkenny 92. They defeated Kilkenny 5-21-3 that day. It's a long time ago. I think it was November or December. The league was kind of played in different halves that time. And the reason I remember it is that Michael Galvin from Sneem scored 2-3 in a forward line that contained Carol Dwyer and David Farrell. And the reason I remember that is I was marking Michael Galvin the day after that game in some South Kerry game. Ambrose was fullback. Billy O'Shea was on the team. Maurice Fitzen, Seamus Moynihan and Dermot Hanifin. Isn't it amazing that people say there was no football ever in Kilkenny, and yet we can talk about some of the greatest players out of this county, Maurice and Seamus, having played Kilkenny. It just goes to show you that, you know, if Kilkenny do get on the road, and of course it is a hurling county, but it needs time and help. But that was a good first start, Liam, wasn't it? In Croke Park, the pictures, the news. It's very positive for Kilkenny football.
Well, that'll give it a massive boost. And I think that was very well put, them few words there, because it's like you said, Kerry Hurling was at that stage probably back in the 90s. And now look at it. And there's no reason why Kilkenny can't be in the same situation with the football. And they're after getting a great leg up yesterday, playing above in Croke Park. There's youngsters at home with Kilkenny jerseys looking at the footballers instead of the hurlers yesterday. So it can only bode well for it.
And if Kilkenny don't deliver in the hurling, they'll have a footballer.
They'll have a footballer.
Like Donal again playing in Croke Park, we saw what it meant to them afterwards. Yeah, Paul Murphy going up meeting his family in the stand. Yeah. A man that has done it all in hurling. He was so emotional. And there was another link yesterday with the New York team. Shane McKelly at the corner forward, his grandfather, Tom O'Sullivan, is from SD, great football in his own time. But what an achievement for those lads to be over in Croke Park, and what it meant to them. Joe and Kylie and all these people around, the work they're putting in across our exiles, no more than the guys in London listening a while ago. Isn't it fantastic to see them? And I hope that they'll come back again and that they'll learn from yesterday. But it's all about Croke Park.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you're very local. Joan Kiley.
Yeah,
she'll be delighted with you, won't she?
There's two tickets there.
Two tickets. Going straight over. Joan Kiley and Joan Hinch, you'll send a few more over. And Joan, of course, doing fabulous work over there in New York. Of course, sponsored by a gang from down South Kerry as well.
That's right,
of course,
right.
And a couple of more. It's amazing the amount of Kerry connections, of course, outside this country as well. Of course, we're jogging on now till the news. One more comment. Lads, great win yesterday. We certainly did everything we could to lose it, though. But in the end, we showed real character to win it. Would we have won this in previous years? Is this the Jack factor? Well, we'll discuss that maybe afterwards. The boys were saying that Jack has added a little bit more to it. Is that why he's after adding it? And we're going to talk about people coming in late after games as well, Liam. There's plenty of comments there. And our friend with the chips, he's back again this week.
He's back again.
He might get
no ketchup.
No ketchup this week. So we will shoot now to the news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry. Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m.
Now it's a busy evening over in Killarney, and we head over for the betting show for the 7:15 race. And there you have it, of course, the race over in Killarney, and we'll be back for the race itself. Ungaeltacht listener, while you play Go On Lads, when Jason Foley went down injured, Dublin got a resulting point. Please put that to our panel. I was watching from the Devon stand, of course. Dublin player arrived late, kind of into the back of him. You know, he went down, bad back. But he was down on the ground for a while. Play went on, John. Can you explain maybe why the play wasn't stopped, as opposed to sometimes that you see it being stopped?
I think at that occasion, Dublin, we took the free and we moved it ourselves. It's only for a head injury, to my reckoning, that you hold up the play. And it happened a few times during the game. And it can be dangerous enough if the play breaks up above and comes back down. But look, that's the way it was. And as the listener rightly said, it let us score.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And at that stage, it got Dublin kind of even closer if it didn't even get to the level. Congratulations to both the Kerry senior teams and management on good wins at the weekend. Continued best luck to the kingdom. We have a two-assist player, Julie O'Sullivan, in the Kerry senior ladies. And the best of luck to them. And hoping that they'll win the All-Ireland as well. And that's Dermot and Margaret Ann down there in two-assist. Two great supporters. Yeah, and we'll be talking about Kerry ladies football there at about maybe 20 past 7 with Dan Kearney, and we might have something special for some people as well. Hi Donal, as someone who's been supporting Kerry in Croke Park for 50 years, yesterday will go down as one of the best. Cluxton's first in 2011 was brilliant kick, no doubt, but the difference is that Cluxton had to walk only 100 metres. Sean O'Shea had thousands of metres ran around Croke Park in the last 80 minutes of playing time. No managers or selectors were running around the pitch telling him what to do. Management and players trust each other, and Sean O'Shea trusted himself. This is a great sign of togetherness. Great show every week, and that's John Joe in Castle Gregory. And I think, John Joe, you've probably have put the two boys out of business here, because I think you've hit everything along the way. I like the word, John Joe, that you use, togetherness, and it's something that you kind of see in teams, Liam. It's something that you want to build in teams. It's not always easy to get it, but there does seem to be that trust and togetherness in this bunch now.
It does, and I suppose it comes as well down through hurt and pain. A lot of these guys have suffered a lot of losses. We don't have a lot of All-Ireland medals in that team. There's only a handful of fellas with them, so these guys want to make their own pet, and it's like, I think he covered it all in his thing there. You know, everything with trust, and you put like that, and I hate repeating myself, it's coming back to management and the whole setup, that we're mentally strong, we have a structure. No, but we have an All-Ireland final to win.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, and of course, it is amazing. The ship will sink fairly quickly, Liam, if we don't bring Sam. If Sam isn't sitting here Monday in 2 weeks' time...
We all might be calling sick.
Absolutely, we'll be all calling sick. Now, here's one for you. I kind of see it because, sometimes it's all about the football, but this one is kind of... This is going to open a debate. People are going to take sides in this. People coming in late to games. If people are not in their seats before the game starts, they should be not left in until halftime. Far too many Dublin people at the game yesterday, with no real interest in the game, arriving in late, upsetting people. Disgust, John Kennedy.
it's annoying, Donald. I've said that. People coming in late, it's annoying. Obviously, there's various different reasons for it, but, you know, it's one thing to not let them in, I suppose. But at the same time, you know, people can get caught up, even though... There was a huge crowd in for the start yesterday, Donald, but you'll always have the stragglers, you'll always have somebody coming in, and unfortunately, 9 times out of 10, they're at the end of the seat, so everybody has to move for them.
And then they might have to go to the toilet 5 times in the middle of the game as well.
See, I'll be honest, I have to agree with this listener, because if you told me to be there at 1 o'clock, I'd be there at 9:30 in the morning parking the car for fair. I wouldn't get in time. And so we were there good and early. We were there as Kilkenny were walking out the field even yesterday. And that was quite early, because at the stage there wasn't 4 people there. Now, well, we got to the field early, watched Kilkenny win the game. The stand filled up gradually, right up to the parade. And, you know, you get to the parade and people are filling their seats. It's amazing how 10,000 people can fill a seat fairly quickly and they're all in. But about 7 minutes into the game, people were still coming in and getting into their seats, and then, like you said, you have to get back up, and obviously they're not sitting in seat 4, they're sitting in seat 27, so everybody has to get up and over and back. But what annoyed me yesterday was, in this occasion, a guy got all the way over to the end and then discovered some other guy was sitting in his seat. So the two of them had to get up, and they had to be brought across, and the steward arrived down, and of course they were checking what section they were in. Were they 3-2-2 or 3-2-1 or the UUU or what they were, the whole lot. But it created a huge disturbance, and it was quite funny, because it was funny for about 40 seconds. But then Kerry scored the goal. Nobody saw it. Nobody knew that David Moran put the ball in. We had a bit of a television in the corner. So there probably is something in it that you should be seated. Because, I mean, like, I presume if you go to a concert venue and you're watching whoever you're paying 60 or 80 euros for, they're not going to appreciate singing a song and someone walking in. And I know it's a bit different, and I know, I suppose, we're just trying to open a little bit of debate. But the thing that really annoyed me about this one particular person was, having sorted themselves out finally, 5 minutes before half-time, they were gone back out again, and everybody was up again over again. So, I don't know, there's something about it. Maybe go down to your local county league.
Are you telling us so, Donald? You missed the goal yesterday, didn't
I? Missed the goal. I'm sorry, David Moran. I saw it on television last night. I didn't know you kicked the ball in. But I do know that I was in the right seat for most of it. Lads, will ticket prices be increased for the final? And will children have tickets available to them?
Very limited, I'd say, Donal, and I think it'd be very close to 80 or 90 euros for an All-Ireland.
It's going to be 90, Liam, yeah.
90.
You'll get a tenner back, maybe.
Am I OAP?
Well, you might get a tenner back from your 100, maybe. or maybe he has a pocket full of them being a sponsor, maybe. John Kennedy, 90 euros. I suppose it's the occasion. I mean, yesterday we all slagged the J off, and it's inaccessible. We went to the match yesterday, we brought Youngfield, we paid a tenner to watch the game, in fairness. Yeah. I mean, the J have to be applauded for that. I mean, that was outstanding. Well, now we were all down the Devon stand, not able to see David Moran kick that great ball in, admittedly. But apart from that, it was the 10 euros, it was 50. I met Mark Hussey out there from North Kerry. You know, he was there. He brought his 3 kids, 2 adults as well. I mean, it was hugely accessible to them, which is a great family thing. It's probably kind of sad in the sense that they won't experience that in an All-Ireland final sense, but it's getting more serious as well, I suppose, at the side of it. As a side to that, Liam, should the GAA bring in ticket pricing at different values for different seats, because it does make a bit of a thing that you're paying €50 for the centre field in the Hogan, and you have everything left and right of you, and you're also paying €50 for being in the Nelly, maybe where you can barely see the field, or maybe up at the very top.
Yeah, and I think there's a bit of furrow as well, that a lot of the good tickets weren't released until, was it the couple of days before, was it Tuesday or Wednesday before the game, and whereas they released all the kind of the average tickets the week or two leading up to it. You know, look, they'll always be hassled with tickets no matter what. I met a couple of fellas outside the Gresham yesterday, and they had tickets in their hand, and they were waiting for fellas, and they wanted to get up to the pitch, and the fellas, I suppose, they were waiting for everyone inside the pub, and no sign of them. No, so there's always going to be a story with tickets. And I think, look, All Ireland finals, even since I was a very small boy, you know, mad looking to go to games, the dad was trying to get tickets, and I think it's going to be no different for this. I think everyone wants to go to this All Ireland final as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, it's an All Ireland final, John. Of course, we all want to be there. We weren't like John Kennedy; he got a couple of free tickets there for a few years. He just had to line out at half forward, and
he'd kick a few points.
He'd be grind anything to get in this field. Lads, look, we have so much to talk about, but we have a big build up week coming as well. We'll have you in again, John Kennedy. Look, thanks very much for your time. It's fantastic. Liam Brosnan, who was at one All Ireland final this year, he's hoping to get a ticket for his second one. You never know, he might be there. But we have to go racing and back over to Clarny now.
Breaking down the weekend sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now, the Kerry senior ladies are in the All-Ireland semi-final next Saturday against Mayo. It's their first one since 2017, and earlier spoke to Dan Kearney about it. Now, it's back to Croke Park on Saturday for Kerry fans, but on this occasion, of course, it's the Kerry ladies that are heading to Croke Park to face Mayo. It's a place in the All-Ireland final at stake. Of course, they were there last time in 2012, as they look to become the first side since 1993, even, to bring home the Brendan Martin Cup. Now, joining us to discuss that game and looking back, of course, at last weekend's fine victory over Armagh is Dan Kearney. Dan, thanks for joining us this evening. Dan, before we look ahead, I suppose, at mouth-watering clash next weekend, let's look back, I suppose, at the quarter-final win at the weekend. Was this a watershed moment for this team in particular? I mean, it's a third straight senior championship win and all teams are of decent quality.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, like, you know, they started off with Galway, you know, beat them fairly comprehensively, and then Westmeath, you know, they put them to the sword. And, like, coming into the Armagh game, like, I mean, they went in full of confidence, and you could see that on you know, the manner of their play. Like, they actually, at times, they played absolutely outstanding football, some of the best football I've seen a Kerry team play for a long, long time, like, you know. And really, in my mind, even though they were down to 3 points at half-time, you know, I never had a doubt that they were going to pull it back, like, because this team, you know, whatever it is in them, they seem to be capable of coming back from these deficits. And they ploughed on in the second half, and you know, they did really, really well, and were fully deserving of the win and fully deserving of their day out now against Mayo and Croke Park next Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Over the term, I suppose, with the two boys in charge, they've become really impressive in the forward unit. I mean, the scores are beginning to really mount up in big games now as well. It was always kind of an era where we were kind of maybe struggling to get a lot of people on the scoreboard. Obviously, it was Mary Hurtig, a fabulous player. I dare to say, you know, that she's not as influential in games, but there's more and more forwards coming into play. The last day you had Schieffer, you've Niamh Carmody again with another goal, Erica McGlynn. If this game is going to be won, it's going to be won in that unit, those forwards.
Absolutely, Donal. And, you know, the most interesting thing from the last day, and you touched on it there, was all six Kerry starting forwards scored from play. And Erica McGlynn came off the bench and she scored. So, I mean, you know, really and truly, in the past, we didn't see too much of that. You know, it was Louise, you know, she's still getting the headlines. But, you know, you had probably like Sarah Houlihan as well, you know, was chipping in with a few. But never to the extent that Kerry are doing at the moment. And, of course, Lorraine chipped in with her customary point there from midfield as well, like, you know. But, like, Louise is still the main fulcrum of the attack, like, you know, she's still the leader. In fact, her leadership skills have grown immensely in the last 12 months. If you ask me, she has really grown as a player. They really look up to her. And she's getting the rewards, like, you know, but she's popping over the freeze. I mean, some of the others are getting the freeze. You know, Ashley O'Connell earned the penalty, like, so it's not just a one-man band anymore. Absolutely phenomenal performance by the forwards. And all through the game, really, all the team, like, their work rate is absolutely outstanding. And they're well-deserving of it, Donald.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree there with Louise. I mean, I've seen her since she's been 14, coming all the way through. But mm-hmm. I've never seen her enjoying her football as much. I mean, she has that, I suppose, motherly role in the sense that she's bringing all the players. I mean, she's able to find that space. I'm certainly going to put a few bob on her becoming an all-star this year. Surely well-deserved even at this stage.
Absolutely.
Looking forward, of course, who will Kerry look to otherwise on that team to win on Saturday? Mayo, of course, you know, defeating Cork. They're a decent Mayo side. I mean, Shauna Howley, Elish Ronan, Catherine O'Sullivan, Fiona McHale is there for an awful long time too, moving back centre-back Lisa Caffrey. They've replenished their players, Mayo, but they, you know, they're still a huge threat.
Absolutely, and the one thing about Mayo is they're kind of similar to Kerry in a way that they work really hard and they put, you know, fierce intensity on the ball. But I suppose there's no, like you named a few players there, but there's none of them that are kind of outstanding players in their own right. But team-wise, they have it. They have it in spades. They're a real hard-working team that worked for each other. Now, that's why it's going to be such an intriguing battle. Both teams are going to go at it helter-skelter, like really and truly. And, you know, I think it's going to be a fierce open game. That's one thing about it. There's going to be a lot of scores in this game. And, you know, I think Kerry really have the forwards to out-punch this Mayo side the next day. Now, having said that, when you, like you said, Fiona McHale there, like, I mean, what a warrior. Like, she's been there for a long, long time, and she kind of carries, she's a bit of steel, catching us all as well, full of energy, like, to be fair. But, like, we have our steel as well. Look at Emma Costello, formerly Sherwood. Like, I mean, she's an unsung hero of this Kerry team, really. And for me, Niamh Carmody, even her performance the last stage, you know, you think back to the likes of Dunica Walsh there for the Kerry men in the past, like, and the amount of work rate he used to put into and the mileage he used to do. But he used to also chip in with a couple of goals, remember that, and Niamh Carmody is doing that as well now, Donal, and it's absolutely fantastic to see.
Mm-hmm. It's glad you mentioned Niamh Carmody, of course. Niamh Carmody was a sub in 2017. I mean, she was only coming onto the panel there. That was the last time they were in the semi final. Lost to Dublin that evening. Didn't do too well, I suppose. In many senses, that defeat kind of pulled the handbrake on that team of that part. But a semi final win here for this team, it could really open the floodgates for this talented group.
Absolutely. You see, like, this team didn't just come along. I mean, it's from the hard work throughout the years, like, and the lads have done a phenomenal job, Dara and Declan. But, like, they won two under-16 All-Irelands in 2015 and 16, and they lost an All-Ireland final under-16 in 2018 after extra time. So a lot of those players have come through successfully, integrating with the older players, shall we say, the Emmas and the Louises and the Lorraines and the Cots. And, you know, that's the beauty of it. They've all integrated together and they look like a real proper team now, and the quality is starting to shine through, and those players that have come through from those successful underage sides.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, and of course no teams can last forever, I suppose. Mayo defeating Cork, Donegal ending Dublin's interest. Are we seeing kind of a changing world order in ladies football, and Kerry are slowly getting back up to that first step?
Well, Kerry are certainly getting back up there, like, but I don't think there's a huge change in the world order. There's no doubt about that. Like, I mean, you're still going to have your Dublins and your Corks next year. You're always going to have a competitive Mayo. You're always going to have a competitive Galway. Donegal are in the mix now, and Kerry are really coming. Like, they're coming like a steam train. But, like, well, there's going to be no big change in the world order, top table. Like, the big thing is, from what we've seen so far, is that Kerry are now joining that top table, and they're very, very comfortable there. And you know, for the future, that's a huge thing going forward, really.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Of course, the semi-finals are in Croke Park. I know that it's not the first time that the ladies' semi-finals have been there. It's becoming a regular on the fixture calendar now, which is fantastic. It's a nice touch as well to reward the four remaining teams, and I suppose give the winners an extra day in headquarters as well ahead of a final.
Significant, really. Like, I mean, they deserve it. Like, I mean, look, as you and I know, like, that if you go to a ladies' game, there isn't a huge amount of people at it. Like, but the players put in a phenomenal effort. They put in every bit of effort as in the men's game, and it's only right that they're rewarded with their day in Croke Park, with 2 days hopefully for Kerry in Croke Park. And you know, more the merrier. Like, because I mean, if you looked at the game the last day against Armagh, the quality of the football played at the time, some of the kick passing, it was absolutely top drawer. It was every bit as good as the Kerry win over Dublin the weekend, like, you know, in the men's. So definitely Croke Park, they deserve to be there. It's going to be a phenomenal game of football, because Kerry and Mayo will play football, and it's going to look really good for both teams, and they deserve their day out. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. And I know know, the Kerry County Board are putting on buses and trying to get people up the road. And, you know, it's vital to get people up there as well. It's a big empty place, even with 10 or 12,000 inside there. But I mean, you know, it still doesn't take away from the wonder of it for the players and the whole lot. And of course, some of them have probably played there a few times as well. Then another girl, I suppose, lady, who has played in Croke Park a few times, Bernie Breen. She's going to be back there as well, isn't she?
Oh, she is, yeah, Bernie Sterling in Wexford. No, like, I was looking at their team sheet there the weekend, and she was named a corner forward, but I couldn't see Bernie staying inside corner forward, so I'd imagine she would have been out around the middle of the field. What a warrior, like. I mean, she was some warrior for Kerry over the years, like, you know, and then she moved to Wexford through work reasons, and, and she's settled into that team, she's integrated well into it, and, you know, they're a pretty good team, like, to be fair, and she's looking at having another big day out there, like, you know, so I'm not going to say her age or anything like that, but she was a fair warrior for Kerry down through years, and even, you know, she would have captained them back in the 2012 All-Ireland final, like, you know, and where they were unsuccessful against Cork, but fair play to her, it's fantastic to see it.
Yeah, it has been the vital goal she got back as well then, back in the day, mm-hmm. playing midfield. Yeah, you're right, she's certainly not going to be a speedy corner forward, you know, herself, probably maybe a third person midfielder. Then finally, Kerry, is this a game they can win?
Oh, Jeannie Mackers, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I suppose, look, the big shock of the weekend, and there was two big shocks, but one of them was the Mayo beating Cork, like, but they fully deserved it, like, but the fact that it's Mayo and not Cork, you know, like it or love it, going into a game against Cork, there's always that Cork factor. You know, they've been so successful over the years, like, but Mayo, Kerry will always look at a Mayo team and they'll always say, yeah, you know, we can go out there and we can beat them. No, they wouldn't. They'd say the exact same against Cork, but it's just the fact that it's Mayo. It's a different type of game. Like, you know, you feel when you're going to play a Mayo team that a Kerry team will beat it. Whether that's insulting to Mayo or not, I don't know. But that's the way I feel about it as well. I feel that this Kerry team, they're on a roller coaster. Their projector, you know, it's going upwards. You know, their projectory, and I think that they're better footballers than this Mayo team. I think we're going to see Kerry in an All-Ireland final. I think we're going to have the men and the women in an All-Ireland final, and hopefully everything will go well now next Saturday for Kerry.
Yeah, absolutely, fingers and toes crossed for that day. Dan, listen, thanks very much as usual for joining us. It's great to get such unique inspects of what's going on in the world. I see there over the week you're making yourself a bit of a social media person as well. You found two former greats playing in a football match?
Not yourself, that? No, I can't remember that.
Did you find you found two former Irish rugby players at a training game?
Oh, oh yeah, Jeannie Mackers, I didn't fight them at all. They were there, they were playing, they were racking each other, they were going hammers and tongs, and they were leaving nothing at all out there. Like, there was a bit of pride at stake. Kira Griffin, former captain of the Irish team, of course, and she's plays with my own club there, Castleline and Desmonds, and herself and Louise Galvin, you know, they were marking each other. We had an North Kerry game above in Castleline, and it just so happened we picked Kira half forward, and Louise was sent to half back for Finnoog St. Sinnins, and sure, Jeannie Mackers, they didn't hardly salute each other before the game, but the next thing, Kira popped up with two early points, and Louise had to kind of put a shackles on that, like, so it was very interesting to watch the two of them in action. But sure, after the game then, like, sure, they were great old buddies. It was fantastic to see it, like, and it's brilliant to see two legends still going at it like that for each other.
Absolutely, two warriors following each other on the battlefield. Listen, Dan, thanks very much, and thanks for joining us tonight in Terrace Talk.
Thanks, Donald.
That, of course, was Dan Kearney, of course. He keeps us up to date with all the happenings in Kerry Ladies, of course, and fantastic information from him as well. We'll take a break. There you have the Killarney races, of course. Now, by now, I'm sure many of you will know those great celebrations over the weekend in Mullingar, as the whole of Westmead, of course, turned out to welcome home the victorious All-Ireland champions, who were crowned, of course, the inaugural Tilting Cup winners. And now on this, to discuss that, I'm delighted to be joined by Westmead Examiner's Gerry Buckley. Gerry, have you stopped celebrating yet?
Well, I think, Donal, there's still a little bit going on tonight, actually. They've been doing a tour of the county, which I suppose is great. We don't win much silverware in Westmead, and it's important to celebrate it. And hopefully, you know, while we're all delighted, I have a piece coming into the Westmead Examiner this week saying that I hope we have bigger ambitions after this. And, you know, the kids who all turned out in force to welcome their heroes home, you know, it'll give them inspiration to play for Westmead in years to come. And while I'm absolutely thrilled, it goes without saying, to win this. It's a competition in its own right, and it got a great profile. The whole competition got off to a great start this year. I hope it's the start of bigger and better things for the county.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, of course, small steps at a time, I suppose. A lot of people maybe were suspicious of the Talton Cup at the start, I suppose, they didn't really know it. But it's fair to say the teams that took it seriously progressed fairly well, didn't they?
Absolutely. And I think if you asked a lot of people at the start, who they thought the two finalists would be if the draw kept them apart, I think a lot of people would have plumped for Cavan and Westmeath.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly, I felt that if we put in the necessary effort and that the lads were committed to it, that we had a great chance of going all the way. And obviously, as you now know, we did, you know. We didn't get out of Division 3, which is a major source of disappointment. A couple of very disappointing results. We lost at home to Longford, whom we subsequently beat quite comfortably in the Championship, and drew with Fermanagh and missed an absolute howler of an open goal in the last couple of minutes to win that game. So I suppose we didn't get out. We beat Limerick down in Limerick. I was at all the games by 6 points, and Limerick went on to be promoted. So, you know, as Boris Johnson says, them's the breaks.
Yeah, sure.
And we were very disappointed that we weren't in the Sam Maguire in our own right. And but I did feel, if the effort was put into the Talton Cup, that we could go a long ways in it and probably win it. And, you know, and we did so, and deservedly so. Bit of a squeaky bum win against Laois the first day. Our captain, Kevin Maguire, was sent off at a crucial time and just about got the win. The second day in Carlow, we let in 2 soft goals, and they stayed with us longer than we might have anticipated otherwise. And indeed, we let in a soft goal, as people have seen in the match last Saturday too, and it nearly cost us. And we beat our, can I say, good friends from Offaly in the semi-final, which was one we certainly wanted to win, because Offaly would have had the upper hand on Westmeath for many, many years, up till about 20 years ago. And any time we can beat Offaly, it's there's double delight, I can tell you, in the county. So, when we got to the final, I thought we had a very good chance. The bookies slightly favoured Cavan, but I felt myself, if we performed, that we'd have a great chance of winning it. And we won it very well in the end, you know, came back from the concession of that sloppy goal. And in the end, we were worthy winners.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It was lovely to see Kieran Martin. It's funny because I remember you, Jerry, years ago. You became a media sensation overnight for jumping out of the Hogan Centre, maybe, rather than when you beat Mead. But Kieran Martin scored 2-3 that day as well. He really is an inspirational player, isn't he?
He is, yes. Gas, you remember that, Jeff. And the guy who's the steward in the press box in Croke Park, lovely man from Mayo, Porrig Flannery. Every time I meet him since in Croke Park, he says, "Now, no dancing today, Joe. No dancing." You know, because he didn't know what to make of me that day. But we became firm friends afterwards when he could see it was just genuine passion after beating Mead for the first time. Yeah, Kieran scored 2-3 that day. And John Heston scored 1-9 between the pair of them. There were the two stars that day. John is still there, as people know. By his own exalted standards, probably had a wonderful match on Saturday. Chipped in with a few points, but had been outstanding in the semi-final, but not so much in the final. But yeah, Kieran scored 2-3 that day in an absolutely magnificent individual performance. And I was delighted to see him come off the bench, because Father Time is catching up with him and a few other lads like him. But he's one of the strongest, most physically strong players I've ever seen play for the county. And as people saw, it's just milled his way through.
Yeah, there was nobody going to stop him.
Nobody was going to stop him. You know, it was a great goal, and as you will have seen and read, like, there was a terrible tragedy in his club, Maryland, last week. A young man called Oney Farrell, who actually was the Westmeath goalie when they won the Leinster title in 2000, beating Dublin indeed in the final in Croke Park. Oney passed away after an illness the last year or two, and he was a good personal friend of Kieran. So I think it was an emotional occasion for everyone in that club, and indeed in the Gary Castle club, because we lost a young man called Enda Mulveal, who would have been a very close friend of Desi Dolan, same age group as Desi, a week earlier. So while those things put sport into perspective, obviously, the death of young people, I think it added to the whole emotion of the occasion. I know everyone involved was thrilled, you know, that we were able to kind of give a little bit of joy to the people in those families who suffered so much the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. They're fine words. Listen, I tell you, it was amazing. We have a packed show here tonight, obviously, talking about Kerry and Dublin. But 2 or 3 comments snuck in there tonight about the genuine joy of sport, and we should be looking at it, and we don't have enough of it here in our own county. It's great to look at it. We look forward to meeting you in next year's All-Ireland final. Jerry, you'll be up there on your own right anyway, and it is great to see you, Westmeath. because I remember covering him over the years in Division 1 as well. Great teams all the way down. That was Gerry Buckley, the Westmeath Examiner, joining us there this evening, talking about that fabulous win for them in the Tailteann Cup, which was really, really fantastic. But now we'll shoot across to Clarny for the race.
Breaking down the weekend's sporting action, this is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now, Clarny's Jamesy Casey has fought his way through a tough Irish boxing cadet selection process, and the sleeve lucre boxer has been selected, believe it or not, for the Irish team, and he's going to head to Turkey next month, competing in the European Championships. I caught up with him earlier.
Now, delighted to be joined by Jamesy Casey. Jamesy, of course, great news over the weekend. You've just secured yourself a spot in the Irish cadet team.
I did, yep.
We spoke a good few weeks ago about getting to this stage. I mean, it's certainly a massive honour to win an Irish Championships, but now all of a sudden you're going to be representing this country in Turkey.
I am, yeah. It is an honour to be going representing the country. They take a lot of hard training. I got there at the end of it all, so hard work did pay off, didn't it?
Absolutely. Jamesy, of course, you boxed by 346 kg. How difficult was it to win the Irish Championships at that level?
Oh, it was hard. No, I can't lie, because I did get a prelims. That's was it four fights, and I went up against my final two-time national champion. Like, it was hard. Took it away anyway, so it was still hard. Like,
what's that feeling like that you go up a lad from Kerry, lad from Killarney, of course, and you're representing your club, which is Sligo Lucre Boxing Club, a new club doing a lot of great things over in Castle Island, and you come away as a national champion. What's that feeling like?
It feels amazing, you know, just being the only boy in Castle Island to represent Ireland is an honour, do you know what I mean? But I couldn't have done it without my coaches over in Castle Island too, to be honest with you.
And who are those coaches?
John Coffey, Jake Kelly, Jennifer O'Sullivan and Mikey Broderick.
And of course we're going to meet a lot of new coaches now, obviously, on the Irish team. You went up already last weekend for your first round with them. How was that like?
Oh, it was brilliant, yeah. 4 hour sessions. 4 hour session. Oh, it was hard. I had pain in my legs over it.
I'd say you're going to have a lot more than your pain in your legs. What was it like going in there? Because you're obviously inside now with all the budding Irish champions who are representing Ireland. You're getting ready for Turkey. Have you ever been to Turkey before?
I have when I was younger. I've only been there once though.
Okay, but this time you're going with an Irish singlet on you.
Yeah, this time I'm going with the Irish singlet.
Yeah. How much work will you have to do now over the next 6 or 8 weeks to get ready for those European Championships?
I'm going to be training harder than ever, harder than what I did to get the cadets level, because if the cadet level was that hard, I can only imagine how hard it would be to get the Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm willing to put in the work, you know, and hopefully I'll bring home European medal.
Yeah, and of course it's a 6 or 8 week run in. You were saying there earlier to me that each weekend you'll be heading to Dublin from Killarney. That's a lot of work and effort, isn't it?
Oh, it is a lot of effort. Now I'll be going up with Jennifer O'Sullivan from my club, because she'll be up there in the high performance training anyway, so it's a bit easier for my mother father not having to go up there every Sunday to Dublin, so.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of mothers and fathers, I suppose family support is very important in nearly every sport. How important has your family support been to this date?
The support of my family has just been amazing. You know, my mother making me all my meals, you know. Everywhere I go sparring, my brother's in my corner watching me spar, you know. It means so much to watch them, and you know how much they love me boxing and love watching me box.
Mm-hmm. And of course you'll be taking it really serious now, of course, for the next 6 weeks. Is there a big difference in training nationally than even within your local club? I imagine the step is even a bigger step again.
Oh, big step in technicality, you know. It's a lot harder in technical wise, because you're learning all the ways of the ring and all these, you know, the tricks of the trades and all this kind of stuff, you know. And it's a good step up, like, it's a big step up.
Mm-hmm. And of course it's a great learning curve as well. I mean, at the end of the day, you're only 13 years old. You're with the best of your age groups and even the age groups ahead of you and coming up behind you. What's it like to kind of sit down at a table and with another boxer from a different part of the country who equally has the eye on the prize at a different level? Do you push yourselves on? Do you have chats about how you got there? How does that work?
I knew everybody up there and talking away to them, you know, about training and what they did to do training. And, you know, it's funny because, like, everybody up there, their story is similar to mine, training the 4 or 5 days a week. And that it's what it takes to get there. And, you know, I got proof of that, you know, when I was asking all these fellas up here, what it takes to get here for you and this kind of stuff. They were still saying training 5-6 days a week, you know. similar stories.
Absolutely. Well, look, it's a great story, and we'll see a lot more of that story. James did the very best to look representing Ireland. It's only around the corner, 6 or 8 weeks away. That's James E. Casey from Killarney, of course, the Sleeve Lucre Club in Castle Island is what he boxes out of. And he'll be representing Ireland in the European Championship just around the corner. Well done, James E.
Thank you.
There you go, James E. Casey. Remember the name, because he is certainly going to be something huge in years to come. Fantastic lad. Great to speak to as well. That's it for tonight's show. Believe it or not, we've raced through the Killarney races. We've discussed Kerry versus Dublin. It's been a packed show, but it's going to be a huge couple of weeks ahead of us now. Next week's show, of course, it's going to be an All-Ireland preview. Can you imagine? We sat here talking about an All-Ireland preview. Myself and Ivan are going to have plenty of talks and coffee and everything, and organising guests. If you're out there from Galway, give us a shout, give us an email. We'd love to hear from you and see what it's like to be behind enemy lines, certainly for the next couple of weeks anyway. Get those flags up, green and gold, guys. We could do an awful lot better. We haven't done very well. Maybe we should take a leaf out of the Westmead book there with Gerry Buckley. Get that excitement going. Of course, the schools aren't there anymore to help us because it's September. But, you know, get those flags up, get supporting. It's very important. The lads can only do so much on their own. They got us to the final, and I think it's up to us now to get them over the line. If you meet them in the street, wish them the best of luck. You know, anything their clubs need, get out there and support them, and thanks. And every team needs a good team, and I have a good team here as well. Thanks to Ivan. He covered me last week. He took your comments this week. Keane, of course, on desk as well. I think he's taken up the Kilmiley's hurling team now as well. Maybe we'll train him in there as well for you, just to get him on the sports side. And stay tuned for Talk Sus. Mary is back. She's there. She's taking out all those big, heavy, I don't know what they are in here, but I mean, they're going to be a bit of music out of them anyway. She did promise me one day that she'll play Bruce Springsteen for me, but not tonight, I'm afraid. He doesn't quite make the cut. Thanks for listening.